Well, thank you, Ian and the worship team, for a good intro, I think, for what I want to be sharing about this morning. You know, the new year, and particularly the first Sunday of the new year, it's always that time, isn't it, when I think people come with that expectation that the preacher is going to come out with some really inspiring revelation that's going to really motivate us for the year ahead. And for me, you know, as I've been seeking God as to, okay, God, what should I be bringing? You know, I have to have this kind of choice. Well, do I do something completely different off the series, you know, away from the series that we've been following, or do I just carry on with the series? And that's not to say that one is going to be more or less inspiring than the other, but I know how it is and how people feel in the new year, and you kind of come, okay, God, what are you going to say to us at the beginning of the year? Well, As I read through the next part of the story of Abraham, I just really felt that this was right to start the year off. And I want us to look at Genesis chapter 15. So, you know, be working our way through, you know, from chapter 11, you know, when Abraham is called, to chapter 14, when he goes and rescues Lot, okay? So we're in chapter 15 now. And it's an interesting chapter because I really, really almost skipped over it. And I read it. It's an interesting chapter, but it kind of lacks a little bit of storyline, you know, the interesting story. And so I almost skipped over it. But actually, you know, the more I read it, it contains probably one of the most important scriptures in the Old Testament. And that's that scripture there in verse 6 of chapter 15. It says, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And it was the phrase, he believed, that really caught my attention. He believed. And the worship this morning is really all about believing and about faith. And it's a really interesting time for Abraham as we get to this point. If you remember, you know, God spoke to him, chapter 11, gave him a promise about becoming a great nation and possessing a land. And, you know, Abraham believed that promise, and he uprooted and he left his hometown of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he moved all the way to Canaan. And when he was there, he had some ups and downs, and the downs were largely caused by himself, some of the decisions and actions that he had taken. And he found himself caught up in battles that weren't really of his own making when he had to rescue Lot. And then we come into the beginning of chapter 15, and there's three words, and we're going to come on to read it in a moment, but it starts with three words, and it says, some time later. And I kind of really feel for Abraham at this time, because he's gone through so much. And then we enter this, and some time later, you know, he's still not seeing things happen in terms of the promise that God had spoken over his life. And New Year can be a bit like that for all of us. You know, we go from one year to the next, and often when we get to the New Year, sometimes we look and think, oh, still the same, still nothing's changed. And it can be heart-rending at times. You know, we look back at this time of year, don't we? And I've really enjoyed looking back at the last 12 months, both personally and as a church. And, you know, I said at New Year, those of you who were at my house, you know, I think God has really blessed us. You know, we've achieved a lot, we've given a lot. You know, the building has been established, you know, built in Zambia. The school's doing really well there. We've had, you know, lots of initiatives here in Bristol. There's a lot more collaboration and working together taking place. There's been some reconciliation of broken relationships, and I think the church is strong. And, you know, we're doing really well. But, you know, as I look forward, there's still things I feel in my heart that I carry. And that's often, often when you carry something into the new year, that's the thing that really kind of surfaces the most. And, you know, I guess most of us don't, hopefully we don't just drift from year to year. It can be really unfulfilling, I think, actually, if you just go from year to year to year to year without really any thought about, you know, what last year was about and what you're hoping for. You know, if you're just drifting and plodding, I don't think that's the best way to approach a new year. Hopefully all of us are at least having a bit of a think about, well, what does this year having hold for us. And, maybe for some of us, we've got some ongoing aspirations. Maybe some of us got hopes or expectations. Maybe for some of us, we have a degree of fear or uncertainty, because of some of the challenges that face you this year. There could be a whole mix of emotions. And I think in chapter 15, as we get to this story, I think Abraham is feeling probably all those kinds of emotions. I think he's struggling a little bit with some of his faith. But the key verse is that one I've got on the screen there, which is verse 6. He believed, and God counted him righteousness because of his faith. He believed. And if I feel anything for 2017 as we move forward as a church, but also as we move forward individually in our own personal walks with God, I want to encourage us to believe. If you go away with one word this morning, believe. We need to believe. And I think sometimes our faith needs to increase from one level to another. And we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. So, we're going to pick the story up. Abraham's life is pretty good at the moment. God has been blessing him. He's got a lot of wealth. He's had a lot of success. And yet he's still struggling because he has this word, this promise that's been spoken over him about being a great nation, about all his descendants possessing the land. He's scratching his head. He can't figure out, even though he's got all these blessings, he just can't figure out really what's going on. And that's where we are when we start chapter 15. So let's read it, shall we? It says, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.' But Abraham replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.' Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And then the Lord told him, 'I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession.' But Abraham replied, 'O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?' The Lord told him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' So Abraham presented all of these to him and killed them. And he cut each animal down the middle and laid the two halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. And some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. A terrifying darkness came down over him. And then the Lord said to Abram, 'You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them. And in the end, you will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. And after 4 generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction.' And after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. And so the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day, and he said, 'I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites.'" A lot of ites there. Excellent. I think Abraham was experiencing something that many of us, I think, experience from time to time. And it's what I've put as the subtitle of today's preach. And it goes like this: well, what's the point of this if I don't have that? You ever felt that? What's the point of this if I don't have that? You see, God had so blessed Abraham. You know, he was living in a good land. He was wealthy. He had lots of servants. His household had grown. But he's saying, God, you know, what's the point of this when I don't have a son? And, you know, it was tearing his heart apart. And years had gone by. And still he wasn't seeing any sign of this taking place. And so what Abraham tries to do, and again, I think we often try to do this when things don't quite work out in the time frame or in the way that we'd like to see them work out. He starts to rationalize the situation that he's actually in. So he says, well, you know, okay, then maybe this is all going to take place through my servants. You know, my servant's going to take the ownership of all this, and this is how it's all going to happen. It's like he resigns himself to a plan B, because God's plan A just doesn't seem to be working out. But, you know, plan B is never a good substitute for plan A. And what we see in this chapter is some really important principles of how to deal with some of these uncertainties, and particularly how to deal with this feeling of, well, God, you know, this is great. You know, you're blessing me in this area. I've got a great job. I've got a great home. I've got a great wife, great husband. You know, you're blessing me in all this area. But God, you know, what's the point of all this, Lord, when you're not answering the real cry of my heart? You know, when I'm carrying something, a real burden, that's the thing that really matters. Lord, look, it's great you're doing all this, but what's the point if you don't answer this? And this, I believe, is where Abraham was. And the things that, you know, Abraham had to do to try and deal with this is twofold. Firstly, Abraham believed, which is what we've been singing about this morning. And secondly, Abraham protected his promise. Abraham believed. See the verse I've spoken a couple of times now. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, you might be thinking, why are you making such a big deal about Abraham believed? Because surely, and in fact you said so, didn't you, in the beginning of your introduction, Abraham believed right from the beginning, right from the moment he kind of uprooted and left his home. Surely Abraham believed at that point. Well, of course the answer is yes. He did believe at that point. But I sense, and hopefully you sense also, as you read this chapter, it's like something happens in Abraham, which is why that through the Holy Spirit this verse, I believe, was penned. It's like, yeah, Abraham did believe, and he believed, and he was obedient, and he did all these things, but he's got to this point of desperation, saying, well, God, what's the point in all this, though, if I don't have that? And somehow God brought him to a place where he didn't just believe, he really believed. You know, you know what I'm trying to say, don't you? You know, I'm not just playing with words here. He kind of went from believing, and maybe he believed, truly believed in his head, to a point where, you know, he really, really believed. And it went from his heart, you know, his head to his heart. I know this is something that Kim and I experienced a while back when, many years ago, we were praying for a child. And we'd been trying for 4.5 years, and, you know, the months of disappointment and agonizing prayer. And we decided to pray and fast for a week. And that's what we did. And it was on the fourth day of that prayer and fast that God gave me a scripture in Hebrews 11:11. Again, it's also part of the story of Abraham and Sarah. And this was Sarah talking, and 11:11 said, and she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And I remember when I read that verse, it's like God injected something right into my spirit. And I know I went from a place of believing, as in I would describe kind of hopeful believing, kind of convinced myself believing, you know, hyping myself up believing, to believing. Really believing, really convinced that I really know that I've heard God, and I really do believe it's going to happen. And of course, Nathan's here, the evidence of the prayer. And aren't we all thrilled that he is? The thing is, we have to believe. You know, we just have to believe. You know, believing is absolutely foundational to our Christian life and our walk with God. It's all about believing. You know, you became Christians. To become a Christian, you have to believe. You know, John 1:12 says, all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You have to believe. And it's this story that we're looking at right now that caused Abraham to become the father of all who believe, which is found in Romans. You know, why was he called the father of all who believe? Because actually, the scripture we're reading this morning is another first. You know, I like firsts in scripture. It's always good to look at the first instance of something that happens. This is the first instance you hear of anybody being referred to as believing. Abraham believed. And that's why he's the father of all who believe. And, you know, and it's not just about becoming Christians. You know, our entire walk with God has to be founded on believing and on faith. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, you know, without faith, without believing, as in truly believing, it's impossible to please God. You know, I think like Abraham, you know, he moved from his head to his heart. Our believing, our faith has to move from our head to heart. I don't know what each of us in this room this morning are believing God for. You know what you are carrying into the new year in terms of what you long for, the cry of your heart, what you're believing for, your hopes and aspirations. But they've got to move from kind of a head and a hope to a truly believing, truly knowing the heart of God. You know, what's the point of this if I don't have that? You know, that. Believe. You know, I've always believed, you know, since I was childhood, that God had called me to leadership. I'm not being arrogant here. It's just something I've always believed. I always believed that God had called me, that I'd always believed that one day I would be in full-time ministry, serve God outside of, you know, a normal secular world. And it's taken to the age of 56, how old I am now, it's taken me to the age of 56 to finally step into something that all my life I've carried as a longing of my heart and have believed this is what God wants me to do. And, you know, it's taken time. And during that time, during that waiting time, God has blessed me. You know, he's blessed me in my job. I've been very successful and it's been great. Like Abraham, I've made some real blunders. And I've had some ups and I've had some serious downs. And there's been times when I've even wondered, and I've truly said this to myself at times, I've even wondered, can this ever be? You know, can this really ever now come to fruition? But you know what has held me in there? What's held me in there is I believed. Simple as that, two words. I believed. If you want three words, I really believed. I did. I truly did. No matter what situation I found myself in, if I completely screwed up, something in me told me God has still got his hand on my life. And I believed him. And now that I'm moving into it, do I stop believing? Well, of course not. Believing is something we have to do continually. And as I, you know, as I think of the church, you know, I share a lot about how blessed I am as a church, you know, and I am. You know, I am so blessed by this church. I'm thrilled with what we've done and what we've achieved. I love every one of you. You know, you're personally a real blessing to me. At the same time, I'm going to say something quite shocking. Possibly, I don't know, you might think this is shocking, but this is really how I feel. In spite of how blessed I am, I feel about this church, I can't help but also say to myself, but God, what's the point of all of this if we're not seeing souls saved? If we're not seeing new young blood come into this church? If we're not seeing families come and join us who will ultimately be the next generation of this church? You know, if this church has a long-term future, then like Abraham, who kind of can work it out, You know, I can look and work it out and think, God, we need new birth and we need young families. And so I find myself saying, and I hope you're not shocked, or certainly I hope you're not offended by this, I hope you understand, that in all our blessings and everything I look at, I think, well, God, but what's the point of this if we don't have that? And so I carry into 2017, you know, all the blessings of 2016, and I'm thrilled and excited by it all, but my heart cries out still. But God, what about this? You know, we so need to see new birth, and we need to see new life coming into the church. And 2017, I'd love you to feel a little bit of the same as what I feel. You know, in a positive way, I'd say, well, God, what's the point of this if we don't have that? And for you to feel the same burden that I carry for the church and for the life of the church and for the future of the church, Steve, because we're not here to self-serve ourselves. You know, the church isn't here just for our well-being. It is here for our well-being. That is part of the purpose of the church, is to make us strong and to encourage one another, to discipline and correct one another. Those are all the purposes of the church, yes. But ultimately, we're here to see the kingdom of God extended. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to see souls saved. We're here to make a difference in the community. These are all the things that we need to do. And these are all the things where my heart cries out and say, God, please, this is great, but God, what's the point of this if we don't have that? Please believe. 2017, we need to believe that God will start to sow into this church something that will give us hope for the future and faith and increase us. It's interesting that, you know, coming on to the second point, you know, no sooner as we see Abraham's faith kind of move from one level of faith to another level of faith, suddenly, you know, God reminds him, takes him, and says, you know, I'm going to give you this land that you're going to possess it, you and your descendants. And then, and Abraham immediately after this, you know, confession that he believes, said, "Oh, but oh, sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" And it reminds me of one of my favourite verses, which I've quoted many times, and I'll no doubt will continue to quote it many times. And this is beautiful scripture in Mark 9:24, and it says, "I believe, help me in my unbelief." I just love it, because for me, it's just so down to earth, practical, what I know we all experience. I believe, help me in my unbelief. It's like, you know, we can get ourselves to a place of believing and trusting God and saying, yes, Lord. And yet at the same time, there's something tugging away at us to cause us not to believe. And we just find ourselves in a wrestling match between believing and not believing, between having faith and yet, you know, not having faith. Help me. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And I think that's what I see in Abraham here. It's like Abraham believed and God considered, you know, God counted him righteous because of his faith. But God, how can I be sure this is going to happen? Like, what? What goes on there? I believe. Help me in my unbelief. So how does Abraham deal with this struggle that he's going through? Well, Abraham protects the promise. He protects what God's doing in his life. And there's two parts to this. First thing is to look at the promise itself and look at the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, I'm not going to go into all the nitty-gritty detail of this. It's quite an interesting topic in itself. But just to say that, you know, the sacrificing of our animals and cutting them in half, and it sounds all pretty gruesome, but this is the stuff that took place donkeys years ago. You know, having these animals, cutting them in half, placing them in two rows, and then typically the two people would walk through these two rows of sacrificed animals, and that's how they would make a covenant, because they didn't have computers and rubber stamps and all this kind of stuff. You know, this is how they made a covenant. The phrase they would use is they would cut a covenant. That's what they would do. What's really interesting in this one, though, is Abraham, that it wasn't two people who walked through the middle to make that covenant. In this story, only God walks through those animals. It was God that makes the covenant. And that kind of speaks to me about, in some ways how one-sided things are in terms of God's commitments and promise and love. It's all about God. You know, God is our, you know, our lives are in God's hands. He's our shield, He's our protector, He's sovereign. You know, our lives can't be touched by anything other than what God allows in our lives. No weapon forged against us can prosper. You know, we are in God's hands, and He is totally committed. And the power of these covenants that used to be cut in those days, was that if anybody broke that covenant, essentially breaking a covenant like this would mean death. That's what that meant. You know, this is a covenant of blood that would mean death if you broke that covenant. And God makes a covenant, you know, with Abraham, and God makes a covenant in our lives to will and to purpose, you know, His will in our lives. And all that's required of us really is to live obediently. But it's like, you know, God, it's like we do the work. I mean, what did Abraham have to do here? He didn't sit around idle. I know it says he was kind of sitting around falling asleep, but before he sat down and fell asleep, he did all the donkey work of getting all the animals, preparing the sacrifice, laying it all out. You know, Abraham did the work. It's like God underwrote that. It's like God, it was God that walked through that covenant and said, yeah, I'm committed to this by death. You know, this will happen. What I said will happen by covenant of death. You know, I'm committed to this. He's our guarantor. And, you know, all God ever really expects of our lives is that we live obediently. But He's our guarantor. Ultimately, it's God that will make things happen in our lives. It's God that watches over us. It's God that protects us. It's God that protects us from the, you know, from the enemy. It's God that does it all. As long as we live and work obediently, we can trust God because God has made a covenant with us. And I just find that pretty amazing, really. But the second thing that, you know, the other thing that we have to do in terms of playing our part in God's work is that there's so much that can drag us away from the purposes of God. You know, the world is very tempting, distractions are very real. There are any number of things that can pull us away from the real heartbeat of what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, in the case of Abraham here, no sooner as he'd laid everything out exactly how God had told him to do, and it was all there, what happens? Some vultures come and try and steal, you know, some of that sacrifice, some of those carcasses. And what did Abraham do? He immediately reacted and he chased them away. You know, there is no shortage of vultures in our lives. You know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to be aware and we have to be alert of anything that comes into our lives, comes into our sphere of living, that will take us away from what God is calling us to do. And they can be so subtle. You know, they're not all bad things. You know, relationships, finance, work, hobbies. You know, they're all sorts of things. In and of themselves, they're nothing's wrong with them. But they can become like vultures who are stealing away God's work and God's promises and God's covenant over our lives. And we need to resist them and we need to shoo them away and we need to protect what God is doing in our lives. And every one of us, you know, this time of year is a good time, really. This time of year is good to sit back and sit down and think, God, is there anything, as I move into 2017, is there anything, God, that is going to pull me away or distract me or make it harder for me to be and to do everything that you've called me to be and to do this year? And we need to be ruthless and we need to be like Abraham, you know. And we need to run at them with something and shoo them away. You know what it's like when you run to a flock of birds? If you see loads of pigeons in London or wherever, and you run towards them, they'll flock away, won't they? You know, it doesn't happen just by sitting down and wishing them away, wishing things were different, thinking that, well, I'm not going to disturb them. They're happy. Well, no, they're not. They're eating away. They're eating away the very thing that God is placing in your life, which is what He has promised and covenanted over you, which is what you're meant to be believing for. They will steal them. And we have to be proactive. We have to decide. And I suggest we decide at the beginning of the year, say, I decide, Lord, I'm going to deal with this area of my life. Because this area of my life is like a vulture against what God has called me for, and I will not stand for any longer. I will shoo it away. I will chase it away. I will keep it away. And I will protect. I will protect with my life. I will protect with my heart and soul, God, what you are speaking over my life. So, a simple word, really. The story concludes with God describing to Abraham how things are going to unfold over the next 400 years. Well, I'm hoping that we don't have to wait 400 years to see God's plan unfold, you know, amongst ourselves. But, you know, it's a long time to wait. Even 1 year is a long time to wait, isn't it? Realistically, you know, waiting is hard. Sometime later. Now, do you feel as you enter 2017, you're still feeling like sometime later, God, you know, still nothing seems to be changing. You know, I pray and pray and pray and pray and I pray over this situation, God. And now it's 2017 and still no change. You know, God, what's the point? What's the point? Yeah, I'm blessed in here. That's fantastic, Lord. But, you know, I'm praying this prayer. What's the point? What's the point? Well, the point is this, you've got to believe. The point is this, that God has made a promise. We were singing about it this morning. You know, he's perfect in all of his ways. He's perfect in all of his ways. And he can be trusted. And God is faithful. And we have to believe him for, you know, for what God is doing in our lives. Remember, I shared, for those who are at my house, I shared what Rob Scott Cook spoke, you know, sent me an email and said, look, I've been praying about the church. And I feel prophetically this is what God says to me. He says, be confident. So this is completely out of the blue. I'd not corroborated with Rob at all. He said, be confident. And he quoted the scripture in Philippians 1:6, saying, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident. 2017, folks, be confident. Believe. Believe that God has a purpose in your life. And if you have a sense of what God is doing in your life, believe it. And even though it's taking a long time, believe it. And even though, and thank God that he's blessing you in these things. But believe. We've got to keep believing. And folks, protect it. Don't make choices. I mean, life is full of choices, isn't it? How many choices have you made already in the first 8 days of 2017? You know, life is choice after choice after choice after choice. Decision after decision after decision after decision. Make choices and decisions that protect God's work and word over your life. And shoo away, chase away the vultures, the things that are going to compromise and undermine everything that God is doing in your life. Believe. If you feel, what's the point? Just continue to thank God for God's blessings. But ask him to help you in your unbelief. God, I do believe. But help me in my unbelief. Amen.